And I think that just, that flipped this switch in me where I was like, okay, fuck you, watch this.
Welcome, welcome. You are listening to Jim and Them, episode 810, part 2. My name is Mike Steele, and I am here to drop all the knowledge you need. Hey, have you ever been like, oh, I'm starving. Oh, I'm so hungry, but I only have $8.27. What am I going to do? My friend, simply open up the Domino's app and get yourself a pan pizza with a single topping.
Hell yeah.
Do takeout. Walk there, drive there. The little meter's going to tell you when it's ready. You walk in, you walk out. My friend, you're spending less than that $8.27, and you're eating like a king. You're welcome.
Yep.
Speaking of kings, I am here with Jim Scampoli.
Yo! Thank you for that fine intro and that fine recommendation for that Domino's $7.99 pickup. I was surprised they weren't doing anything for Pi Day, but I was like, oh, they're just giving you great deals every day, not just Pi Day.
They don't need to do a Pi Day deal when they do the Pi Day deal every day of the year.
Well, dude, and speaking of Pi Day, well, Pi Day was yesterday to date this a little bit, if you're listening on the podcast. I was out at Costco. I had to pick a few things up, and then I was like, oh, shit, it's Pi Day.
What'd you have to pick up? Extra large condoms?
yeah, big fat condoms for my dick and a huge bag of potatoes. But I was like, oh shit, there's a blaze right up the street from this Costco. It's Pi Day. And I couldn't remember. I was like, are they just doing $3.14 pizzas? And I looked it up real quick. And it's like buy one, get one, $3.14.
See, Blaze was doing the $3.14.
Well, no, this is Blaze.
Oh, it was Blaze.
Yeah, I might have said it wrong. But this, because I know in the past that you did straight up just $3.14.
Yeah, I thought I got an email about it. But keep going.
But I looked it up yesterday and it just said you couldn't order in the app, but it was BOGO, get one, $3.14. But I'm like, eh, you know what? That's still not a bad deal.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll shoot over there real quick. And I assumed it would be busy, but I didn't think it would be crazy. Cause I'm like, well, this is a BOGO get one 314. It can't be that busy. Oof. And I parked and there's a fucking line outside the door.
Jesus.
And I was
Christ.
Like, hey, it's got right back in my car. I drove away.
No,
like,
fuck
it's
that.
It's not that serious. You're saving like $7.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
and I could go get a fucking Domino's pickup
yeah,
for the,
$7.99.
You know what I mean? For cheaper.
Well, it's like when they did Froyo Day. And I remember I sent you guys a picture and there was like a line down the fucking street for like a small, plain, no toppings Froyo. And it was like February.
Yeah, dude. People are just doing too much.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Oh,
you know, I checked the email. Jim, you're right.
Yeah.
The subject says, get a pizza for $3.14. But when you go inside, it's the, well, buy a pizza and then get one for $3.14.
I wonder if people were just tricked and that's why there was such a huge, because I couldn't imagine waiting 30 minutes just to buy one pizza for $11 and another pizza for three. So two pizzas for $14.
Yeah,
it's
and Blaze isn't fast by any
means.
Yeah,
no, it's not that great of a deal. Matt Atwell in the chat. Been here since Mike and Jake were dueling in an epic rock, paper, scissors battle.
Oh, whoa.
Sponsored by Activia PM. That's classic, dude.
And remember, the greatest, we need to find a clip of that and play it during a break sometime because we could not have written that better than it just actually turned out.
But yeah, backing up real quick, cause we were just playing Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. Thanks to DB Deathlord. He did, request that last week. So I got you, dude, but I didn't realize cause I played one off of Apple Music earlier when I was checking for the song, but the intro's so long. I was like, shit, I got to download this to cut the intro down a bit. And apparently the one I downloaded is the safe version because as I was telling Mike during break, they actually say the F slur a bunch of times in that song in the second verse. But that version, I didn't realize the one I downloaded takes the second verse away.
Well, it's interesting because even the part you played, the second part that I thought I was listening for the F slur, I don't think I've even heard that part because I think I've only heard the first half of this song.
Let me see. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, yeah, so it should be after this, actually. But I was like, I don't remember them saying this in this song, but apparently they do.
Like multiple times?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's coming up after this. Here it is. Well, after this little guitar break.
Well, after they lure you in with their git fiddle.
Yeah. After this, the bridge. No, did I imagine this? Does he not say the F slur? Did I make this up? Hold on. Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do. Yo-yos. Trying to see where I am on the goddamn motherfucking verses.
Jim,
I swear to God. I'm looking at a lyric sheet that shows it here, too, but I'm trying to... I'm playing the wrong version again. I'm stupid. No, it's my fault. I'm dumb. I played the same version that I played for the intro again.
I like that this song that shouldn't have an 8-minute version has an 8-minute version, and also the 8-minute version is full of the F slur.
I forgot. The one like I downloaded is 3 minutes 46 seconds. The full version's 8:24.
Well, because they've got 5 minutes of F slurs. I would love if this is a long form bit where we never hear it. Here it's like, because I'm trusting you, Jim. I haven't looked it up. I just thought it would be so funny if you're like, oh shit, I don't know, man.
God damn it. Hurry up. We want to hear someone say the F slur already. I'm sick of hearing myself say it.
Yeah, I'm sick of yelling it at strangers. Shouldn't learn how to play the guitar.
Dude, it is again. I fucked it up again. We just gotta listen to the whole goddamn song again. I'm a fucking idiot. Where is it? No, I'm playing the wrong one again.
Wait, what?
Yeah, no, it skipped to my 3 minutes ones again. Jesus. All right, there we go. See, it sounds different. This is such a long way, dude.
Jim, if I don't hear the fucking F slur in the next 30 seconds, I'm losing my mind.
This is such a long way to go. Jesus, please, goddamn, say it already.
Dude, what an insane buildup to just the F slur and the Dire Straits.
God damn it, yeah. He says, the microwave, we get it. We got the microwave oven. We got to sell the TV.
I cannot wait for him to be like, maybe I should have learned to play the guitar. And you're like, fuck.
Dude, how? How? How I keep ruining it? I guess this is even better than hearing him say the F slur. Why can't I find it?
Jim, what is going on? What is this?
People in the chat are saying he says it. Oh, someone's calling. Hey, hold on, hold on, hold on. Who's on the line?
I taught an Etzler to play the guitar.
Jesus, you know, maybe Christ. I should just find it on YouTube. Is someone else calling too?
Dire Straits. Just type Dire Straits F slur. I don't think so. Oh, a bunch
it's
of people
ringing
like,
on my phone.
Hello. Obviously, hello. The F slur is at this time. All the F slur folks are showing up to help us out.
I love that I can't fucking find it. I don't know how I'm messing this up so bad. Yeah, I'm gonna skim through the lyric video. That way, I can have a better idea.
I guess. I don't know, Jim.
Maybe I made it up. Maybe I'm just hearing
maybe
things.
You just have so much hate in your heart that you think that the F-star is in this song. You know what the greatest
yo-yos.
The greatest thing about this would be is if we got to the point and it doesn't even sound like it, and you're like, right there. And I'm like, Jim, that's not the F-star.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? I'm like, Jim, he says put it in the bag. And you're like, no.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
Jimmy says I should have learned how to play the guitar. What? No, he doesn't.
Because I can't even hear the song anymore. That's why I have to look at it.
Okay, I'm not going to look at the screen because I don't want to be ruined when I potentially eventually hear the F slur in this Dire Straits song.
This might even be because this one he's saying yo-yos. I swear to God, I heard one where he was saying the F slur.
This is a fucking. This is insane. This is crazy. I don't even know what to think anymore.
All right. Is this it? This could be it. We could be on to something, ladies and germs.
Okay.
There we go.
Whoa.
All right. See, it's a long way to go. The build-up was probably better than the destination.
Does he say it three times?
I think he says like three or four times.
Play them all. Jesus Christ.
Is he talking about David Bowie? He said he's got makeup and a jet and his own airplane. I'm just assuming maybe.
Do the Dire Straits hate David Bowie?
I guess because they're talking to, like, they're being sarcastic about MTV, right? Like, you're dumb if you want MTV.
Yeah, maybe. Man, I can't believe he's like, you know what? The entire bridge is just going to be me saying the F slur and then talking shit, then saying the F slur again, then talking shit, then saying the F slur again.
Oh, people think it might be Motley Crue.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Because, they're talking about, I guess, like 80s rock of the time.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
There we go. So finally, we made it. We made it there.
I was doubting you for a second there, Jim. I was like, maybe this is just like the greatest bit Jim's ever come up with, where he claims off mic before the show starts that the Essler's in the song just to trick me and then get everyone else in on it. Because what people don't realize is as it was coming in, we took our headphones off and Jim's like, dude, did you know there's the Essler a bunch in the song?
Who's on the line?
Yo, it's Mergam.
Yo,
what up, dude? Long time no hear. I'm glad to hear you're alive out there.
Long time do curse because you've still cursed
you
us.
I mean, is there a early 2000s new metal reminder of me being alive?
There could be. Oh!
star. Are you alive?
But I was gonna say, do you think there's a cover band of Dire Straits called Dire Straits?
I'm sorry, you might not have been able to hear. Yeah, I was playing the song.
He was playing it the whole time.
But
you
I'm
talked.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you think it's a Dire Straits cover band called Dire Homos, and they just lambast straight people in that third verse?
Or it's just they are the gay people, but they just shit on Dire Straits the whole time because they've been steaming ever since what, 84, whatever that came out.
I feel like
first heard that song, they're like, we got to make a point.
Yeah, we're
I'm
not
the
stopping.
Dire Straits because I'm a straight guy, and I'm like, somebody, please, I'm begging you, I'm right here, I'm not that bad a guy.
Can't we just get along?
Things are dire.
Yeah, Goldbreaker's saying they used to play that version on MTV all the time.
Holy shit. That's fucking insane.
Anyway, I'm punching out. I love you, boys.
Bye. I'm glad you're alive.
Thanks, man.
Well, it's kinda,
I'm glad you're breathing.
It's kind of like it's like I mentioned when we went and saw Bill and Ted, because they say the F slur in that.
Ooh. Oh,
and, like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
The whole audience, like, it killed. Like, the audience was laughing at it. And I expected it to be like a, ooh. But no, it was a, like, everybody's like, cracking up.
Yeah, because what did we see when they, oh, because when we saw Shaun of the Dead, well, that was the N-word.
Yeah.
When he says, what's up, N-words. Yeah. And, but people kind of, no one laughed at that.
We did.
Even though it's a funny moment.
You and me laughed.
Yeah, we laughed at it. Or even the All Right Gay, I guess they didn't laugh at that either.
Oh, yeah. That was the one where you could tell that they really didn't like it, but we did.
What was I going to say?
Wow, I can't believe that whole thing is just like F-slur, F-slur, F-slur. N-word, N-word, N-word.
Yeah, because back in the everyone's like, yeah.
Fuck yeah, Dire Straits.
See that millionaire? That little F slur? He's a millionaire.
Yeah, nice makeup.
He's got a private jet. It's like the Jim and Emma of the 80s.
I'm going to say it.
Neon's got all these followers.
Fuck him.
That little F slur. That little F slur, he's been banned from Kick.
That little F slur, he's going to say it.
Sting's doing the backing vocals on that song.
Sting, like Sting, or like,
yeah, escalating
the rest
the bar, no, the singer, yeah, and the wrestler. I saw Sting's sons did a big send away for him, huh?
Yeah, so his go home match. They came out dressed up like Surfer Sting, and I think it was like Wolfpack
Crow
Sting,
or, yeah, Wolfpack Sting or something, like that.
That was pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool because, like, I know his son's like a Twitch streamer or something, and I guess that's how I found out that they were even his kids because they were like, "Hey, I haven't been doing my videos for a while, but that's because I've been
Getting in shape.
Yeah, I had to get in shape and cut
too.
My hair.
It's a heartwarming post. That was cool to see.
Yeah, that's very very cool. Wrestling's cool. I know it's a controversial opinion, but wrestling's cool, Jim. Have you seen the buildup?
Okay. This little Lester, he still likes wrestling. This little Lester, he stings kid.
What buildup? What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just making a joke about the buildup between Roman Reigns and The Rock versus Cody Rhodes. And,
I haven't,
Seth Rollins.
But at least the stuff I've seen just in passing seems interesting.
I'll be honest.
It seems like they're doing fun stuff with the audience and
it's
playing
pretty
with
good.
Expectations.
It's like,
I think that WrestleMania has always been cool, even when wrestling's the worst.
Yeah.
Like, WrestleMania is always something you want to take a peek at.
It's one of the better buildups to a WrestleMania, I think, in a long time. And it's because it's not what everyone thought it was going to be. Because everyone's been saying, Roman versus The Rock.
Yeah.
It's just a match between Roman and The Rock. Like, there's nothing, there's no substance there. And Rock's involved. But man, this buildup has been really fucking good. Like, it's been like making me excited in a way that I haven't been about wrestling in a long time. Like, I'm always stoked for the Royal Rumble. But it wasn't because there was a buildup to it. It's just because the Royal Rumble's
cool.
And I'm always excited for WrestleMania. But like you said, it's just because WrestleMania is WrestleMania. But this is the first time in like years where I've been like, holy shit, dude. I am fucking ready for WrestleMania.
What's the idea? Do you think they're going to do Roman and Cody on night two or what?
Well, so that, I mean, I genuinely don't know because the stipulation is that on the first night, if they lose, the Bloodline can say that they get to make up the rules for the second night. But then if Cody and Rollins win, then there's no interference allowed and stuff like that. Like, it's basically like that. And like on paper, obviously, the more interesting thing is the Bloodline stacks the deck and somehow Cody and Rollins come out on top. But like they've been doing such a good job with all this that I'm like, nah, there's got to be more to it than that. And I'm excited to see what it is. But just in general, like, I know that the build up to a Vince-less WrestleMania last year, they did a really good job with like Sami Zayn and KO and the Bloodline stuff. But like, it's just, this is like, this feels like fresh and exciting in a way that wrestling hasn't really always been, even when I'm enjoying it in a while. So it's been a fun build up, Jim, even though I've been watching wrestling and that makes me gay.
Yeah. Wrestling is pretty, you know what also is
that little earring guy with his private jet.
Yeah, with his private jet, the millionaire. The Dynasty on Apple TV, the Patriots documentary. I was digging it. I mean, it's still pretty good.
Everyone turned on it, though, after that episode, Jim.
But also, because it's turning into a goddamn Bill Belichick hit piece. They're doing is they're blaming Bill Belichick for things. And it just got so egregious with the Aaron Hernandez episode, where they're literally saying, like, for people that don't know, Aaron Hernandez was a tight end for the Patriots. He was really good. Got drafted the same class as Gronkowski. It was like the first... maybe not the very first, but like it changed how like NFL teams use the tight end position.
Not only were they both good at being tight ends, but they were both good at basically being receivers.
Yeah.
And it was like playing fucking NFL blitz where you're like, I'm cheating because basically if you know I can throw left or right, I'll just go the other way. That was what it felt like when you had Hernandez
plus
and Gronk is like
big
cover
motherfuckers
one.
Blocking people and dude, shit.
Gronk could get balls when he was double teamed, and Hernandez could get balls when he was double teamed. And so you're just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do against these guys because it's Brady throwing. He's got three great wideouts and he's got two amazing tight ends. What the fuck am I supposed to do against these guys?
Yeah. And then Aaron Hernandez, I mean, famously was charged with murder. He murdered some guy in a car or whatever the fuck. And like even in the document, like first of all, there's already like a docu-series on Netflix about this, so they squeeze way too much of this. Like I get why you'd want to cover this in the Dynasty. Yes. I understand because a lot of people are complaining about the Dynasty because it's definitely getting way too controversy heavy. Which I get, that's part of the allure. That's what you want to pull people in with.
Yeah,
but it really is focusing on it way too much more than the actual like. The winning on the field and like the play they were doing.
Well, there's so much they're doing. It's literally like an unheard of dynasty in football history. And you're telling me you need to make an entire episode about blaming Bill Belichick for Aaron Hernandez's crimes. Like,
yeah,
you're telling me you don't have any other material to work with. Like, come on.
I mean, the Netflix documentary basically makes it seem like he murdered the guy because he was gay. I guess speaking of, is that
so? Aaron Hernandez murdered a guy because he was okay.
If you watch the Netflix doc, it's all about how he was like too masculine and he couldn't let anyone know, and then he was lashing out. And it, potentially, the guy he killed was his gay lover. I forget the specifics, but I remember that was the main takeaway after watching it. On this, they get into like how he had a troubled upbringing, and then he went down to Florida, played college ball in Florida, and he got drafted in New England.
Then Bill Belichick asked him to kill someone. Yeah.
And he's from Connecticut, so he was back in like his home area. And they're like, well, he just started falling back in with the wrong crowd again, like his old friends and all that. But even in the documentary, they mention that there's another double murder that he was essentially involved in, but he just didn't get charged with. Like they didn't... either they didn't have enough evidence for the court case, or they just figured they got him on another one, so they didn't charge it. I forget the specifics.
Tom Brady paid off the police, probably, Jim.
But they essentially go over how that already happened, but they still, by the end of it, they mention that Hernandez was falling in with the wrong crowd, and the Patriots, like Belichick, was letting him get away with shit that he wasn't letting other people get away with.
Which
like,
is insane because Bill Belichick doesn't let anyone get away with anything.
I mean, they paint it as like Belichick like loved Hernandez, which I probably believe just because he's a big, good football player.
Yeah.
And that like Hernandez would make off-color jokes all the time in the locker room, which I'm sure all of them do, but they had to make a thing about it because this guy happened to be a murderer.
No, not Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, Jim. Yeah. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis would never make an off-color joke.
And then they make this point of how Aaron Hernandez asked to be traded to the West Coast. And they kind of like latch onto it. Like somehow, if that happened, we would have saved this man that Hernandez killed.
A different man would have been killed on the West Coast.
Exactly. Plus, apparently there already was a double murder committed, and most likely he wanted to be traded to the West Coast because he didn't want to get caught for it. You know what I mean? Like there was probably, but they pitching it as like he was just a misunderstood guy and he asked to be traded, but the fucking dictator Bill Belichick wouldn't let him do it. First of all, you'd be fucking crazy because he was a great player on the team.
Yeah.
Unless someone's offering like a lot of shit, you're obviously just not going to trade him for no reason. But that was like insanity. Then they get into like Deflategate and they make it seem like Belichick threw Brady under the bus. Which like Belichick did make a comment like, which I just believed is, you know, they started asking him about the balls or whatever after that Indianapolis Colts game. And he's like, look, the specialist and the player, you'd have to ask the players about that. Like, I don't deal with the fucking football. And they're like, there goes Belichick throwing Brady under the bus. No,
that's not what that was. It's not what that was.
And in one in another respect, I can almost understand it because Belichick already ate so much shit for Spygate that he's like, fuck this. I'm not dealing with questions.
Yeah.
And they use Belichick's attitude against him because he still takes part in this documentary.
Which is, shocked about.
If you know anything about him, like when you ask him about these things, he's going to say, I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because he has no problem doing that. He does that all the time. Like especially back in the days, he's famous for his press conferences when they're trying to ask him about weird distractions. He'd be like, we're on, like his famous quote, we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah. And he's the coach that's not in Madden. Like when you see the Patriots coach, it's just generic avatar guy.
He's like, yeah, we're on to Cincinnati, whatever. So they're blaming him for that. And then I get now in hindsight, because I haven't watched the last two, but I'm up through episode 8. And now they're really just getting on him for drafting Garoppolo. And I get now in hindsight, you could see that Brady is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation was he was 39 years old. There's nothing wrong with drafting a guy. Like, no. It doesn't mean we're putting him in next season.
Dude, Aaron Rodgers was drafted and sat behind Favre for, what, 4 years?
That's what I thought. It was at like 2 or 3 years at least, and I know probably longer.
I also know that's like an exception, but in general, that is a very specific exception of here is a great quarterback that was drafted and sat behind someone. Every year, some guy gets drafted, and the whole point is, well, if the good guy's still good, then he'll keep the job, and we have a guy behind him because we don't want him to go down, or we don't want him to suck, and we have no one to fall on. We don't want to be the fucking Broncos stuck with Osweiler and going like, uh-oh, we thought he was good, but I guess he's not ready.
Well, we don't want exactly what happened to us to happen to us because we had to get rid of Garoppolo to like appease Brady or whatever, and then we didn't have anything in place for when Brady left on the Patriots.
Yeah.
But it really, it's becoming bizarre, and I do know, like, Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, like, his family is, like, involved with the production company. So I do kind of buy into these conspiracies that it is kind of a hit piece. Because even on the Hernandez one, like, Bob Kraft is, like, talking about how much he loved Hernandez, but also saying stuff like, I was hoodwinked by this kid. Like, I thought he was a good kid and blah, blah, blah. And even at the end, he like apologized. Like, we really missed the boat on this one. Like, we could have done. It's like, what really? You didn't expect he was going to murder someone.
Again,
even if there are so many NFL players that have problems, whether it be domestic violence, drunk driving, whatever the fuck.
Drugs, violence, and alcohol are like fucking across the board. That's like, look at the Raiders or the Cowboys throughout the entire 80s, and it was nothing but that. There's always players, they're gonna have a clear and obvious problem, and especially with a guy like Bill Belichick, often they trust to bring in that guy and go, Bill will keep him from that being a problem, and that's why we're willing to do that. That happens all the time. Like, been a narrative in the NFL is, oh, you know where that guy should go? He should go to the Patriots because he's had problems everywhere else, and they'll knock some sense into him. That's the Patriots thing.
Well, and also, like, I mean, we've talked about it a bunch of times on the show. I mean, the Raiders themselves had that guy. Yeah, he didn't shoot a guy and like stash his body, but he drove 100 miles per hour down the street and he trapped a lady in her car while she burnt to death with her dog.
He drove 150 in a 35 and literally vaporized someone.
He did kind of murder someone.
Rubs.
And then, I mean, like, I'm getting annoyed at Amendola as well. Like, I can't be too mad at him because he played for Belichick, so he can have his opinion. But he loves to throw his digs in, like, yeah, you know, we worked for Bill, but we played for Tom. And, like, he never gave Tom his proper credit and all this shit. He was never good enough for Bill, even when Tom was winning. And it's like, but also, that's fucking the guy. He's the hard ass. He's the fucking, I get it. He's like a guy that you're afraid of, and he's a hard ass, but he's an old school hard ass guy that's trying to make you play the best. Now, right or wrong, whatever you think of that, at the very least, that molded Tom Brady into what he is. Not to say that obviously Tom Brady didn't put in the work. Tom Brady was a guy with a chip on his shoulder forever that wanted to prove everyone wrong.
What a work ethic from another fucking planet.
But to act like Bill Belichick had nothing to do with that, especially you'd have to forget the whole decade of like 2000 to 2010, where, I mean, Tom Brady, obviously greatest quarterback, but that he wasn't the Tom Brady in the later decade that he was in the first decade.
Sure.
And also the up until fairly recently, that's what everyone thought. Everyone thought that they would show the clips of him just doing little dump passes, little screens that would turn into 20 yards or whatever. And talk about how he sucked or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, people said he couldn't throw the long ball anymore.
And then there was...
He came to the Bucks, everyone was saying, like, oh, history will prove that Bill Belichick was the guy, not Tom Brady. And it took Tom Brady winning a Super Bowl somewhere else for that narrative to even, like... But now people are acting like that wasn't a thing they were saying. Like, everyone was saying that about him. And I'm not saying the Super Bowl disproves it, but everyone's acting like just because... they got like some information to the contrary, like all of them weren't just like crucifying Tom.
But also because I wouldn't want to take anything away from Brady, but Brady also stepped into a much better team. He knew I don't doubt that he left the Patriots because he did want to do it without Bill and probably was sick of Bill's system.
Yeah.
But also he knew the team was going to be bad.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have won that. It's not like he would have won that Super Bowl with the Patriots.
Definitely not.
And that's why I hate Gronk even more, because the year before Brady left the Patriots, they would have done much better. But homo Gronk stayed retired and was goofing around at WrestleMania. But then as soon as Brady went to a good team, he's like, oh, fuck, I'll come back.
I'll go get a ring.
Yeah, I'll come back as well. Anyways, it's just this goddamn fucking hit piece with these scumbags over at Apple TV and these scumbags in the fucking New England Patriots management or ownership position trying to drag Bill Belichick, a great man, name through the motherfucking mud.
Where's Bill going to land? I was so shocked that everything played out and he didn't wind up anywhere.
He's probably just going to be Dunsky. I mean, I guess you never know. It could be one of those situations where like, this upcoming season, a team does that. Like, you know, there's teams that do so bad that their coach just gets fired, like, in the middle of the season.
Sure.
It could be one of those.
He just seems like someone who doesn't want to not work and also loves the game too much to leave because he got fired from a team. He seems like someone who would leave because he decided it was time to go.
He's also someone that would come in and say, I want this, this, and this. And if they say no, he's going to be like, all right, well, fuck you.
I'm just surprised no one was willing to say yes to that needed a coach.
Yeah, it's wild.
So fuck the dynasty?
I mean, I'm still going to watch it. I mean, I wouldn't have much problem with a lot of this stuff if they just highlighted some of the good aspects more. Because they
played both sides and let you decide rather than like,
yeah, I get it. These are juicy things. This is the stuff that sells documentaries. So I understand these things need to be front and center, but they totally gloss over their second and third Super Bowls. Those are completely glossed over. Like, they spent a good amount of time on that build up to the first Rams Super Bowl, which is warranted. It makes sense. And I get you kind of just can't then do, here's another, it's not the same as an NFL films where you're just highlighting the wins.
But the show's called Dynasty.
Yeah, exactly.
So it seems like maybe you should
establish it a little bit more.
You should talk about the reason they are one, like the other Super Bowls.
Because, I mean, they spent some time on the Atlanta comeback, but that's the afterthought of the main focus of that episode is the Garoppolo thing and how Brady was suspended for 4 games because of Deflategate. Bill threw him under the bus. Then Bill then stabbed him in the back by drafting another quarterback and all this shit. But I don't know. I just wish they could spread it out a little bit more. And I heard even the next one's getting into like how he benched Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. And they lost to the Eagles, and that's like, you know, Bill hasn't said why he's done that.
That's it.
People speculate that it has something to do with like maybe even protecting Malcolm Butler because of it. Like some people think that Malcolm was busted for steroids or something, but it feels like that would come out if that was true.
Yeah, they're pretty good about finding that shit.
Or maybe even later. Maybe McDaniels was somehow involved too in some weird thing, and that's what was happened. Who knows? But I guess even like the players are like, he never told us like why, and everyone's kind of thinks that's bullshit. But it is great how, well, it's great that just Belichick doesn't give a fuck.
No, he really doesn't.
He just sits there and he's kind of like leaned up like a fucking mafioso. And he's got like a big double chin and he's just like, yeah, you know, he's going to go out there and play good football. Well, because even like you watched a little of the episode when I was watching it when it had, who was that guy that fucking stepped in for Brady when Brady got hurt that year.
Castle. Castle.
Yeah, Matt Castle. Castle. Well, because they're in the recent episodes, they're like, you know, Tom never got credit even from Bill, and like he just looked up to Bill and saw him as a father figure, and it was never good enough. And they had a story of how they were watching the low lights, they would call it. Like instead of highlights, they'd be watching low lights all week during practice. And
that Matt Castle's so funny.
Well, there's that one, but the one before that, like a recent one, is it was for Tom. He was showing Tom low lights in to the team and being like, this is my fucking Hall of Fame quarterback throwing shit like this. Are you serious, Tom? And you just rewind it and play it again, like, what the fuck is this, Tom? But even like we saw in the Matt Castle one, he was like, Castle, can you learn to read a left side blitz so I don't have to call your mom and say that his her son died because he got hit by a left side blitz on the field?
It's so fucking funny, dude. Because you can picture it immediately and you know that he's not being hyperbolic. You know that he's not telling a version of a story. He's telling the exact story and just like, oh, that's so fucking funny.
And, you know, players have their own point of view and obviously a more educated point of view than I do as an outsider, as a fan. But they make statements like, you know, if I was Tom, I wouldn't want to be treated differently. But, and it's like, well, no, you're saying you do want to be treated differently, because I would think the reason why Bill's doing that is he's trying to show the team Tom's not bigger than the team. Yeah. I'm going to talk shit to Tom just like I'm going to talk shit to everybody.
If Tom makes a mistake, I'm going to tell him he made a mistake. So that's when I tell you made a mistake.
Yeah.
You can't say, why is he so hard on me? Because you're nothing compared to Tom Brady. No one will even remember your name 2 years from now. So you can't act like I'm being mean to you, because I just did that exact same thing to Hall of Fame greatest of all time, Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, and even they purposely do this thing because they show the 28-3 comeback, and they cut to a clip of Bill when they ask him something about like Tom's comeback, and he's like, yeah, you know, but like a lot of players did stuff on that. But they're using that to highlight, like, look how Bill doesn't even respect Tom. But it's like he does respect Tom, but also what he's saying is absolutely correct.
He's not Tom. He's not the quarterback's coach. Yeah. He is the team coach, and he's going, yes, us, the Patriots, just had an amazing comeback.
Well, because you forget, I mean, big plays happen. There was a big fucking defensive fumble that was forced.
Yeah.
There are some running plays. I mean, obviously that Edelman catch, because that was basically going to be an interception, although Edelman blames himself on the route he ran, but I don't know.
It was still an absurd catch.
Yeah.
It's one of the craziest catches I've ever fucking seen.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, it's good. I definitely still recommend to watch it, but I'm just getting more and more annoyed that they're throwing my boy Bill Belichick under the goddamn bus.
Well, and for the record, people that don't just aren't friends with Jim, he's constantly like, why the fuck did they fire Bill? They should just let him work there for 20 years and lose every single game for every season.
Saying.
Because that's better than us have this cavalcade of clowns coming in. And yeah, they're all going to lose too, but we don't get... I'd rather just Belichick lose. If you're going to just fucking lose, at least let Belichick lose.
But then again, I mean, maybe they'll make me eat my hat. Maybe Mayo... Is it Mayo that's the new head coach? Maybe he'll come through and we'll be a playoff team next year. But we'll see. We'll see. Well, because also, like, I get all these random tweets in my feed, obviously, like, Patriots-related. And they're all excited about these re-signings they're doing right now in the offseason. They're all Bill Belichick people that he signed.
Yeah.
But also, like, it's like, well, we sucked. So I'm not excited that we re-signed these people.
Yeah, sometimes if you're like, oh, well, who cares? That guy's not that guy wasn't important. Like, I know for the Bucks, who are the guys that if they don't bring back, I'll be like, fuck, they're important to this team. Obviously, there's lots of players that are important, but there's like, those key players, when they're like, yeah, we signed Joey Butts, the second string backup left tackle, to a 1-year deal. I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
he wasn't important. He wasn't important.
Anyways, that's your wrestling and football talk for you. That's a little preview of Game Time, America's favorite sports talk show.
Sorry,
on patreon.com/jibandthem.
I wasn't retarded enough. And I kept saying the N-word, which I know calling people the N-word is one of the rules that you're not allowed to break.
They announced Busy Phillips is getting a new show, a new night. I don't know if it's a late night show or not, but a new talk show. It's going to be on QVC.
Wait,
QVC Plus.
Aren't they a sell things channel?
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be a weird hybrid where she's just going to be like selling like what does QVC Plus have?
You know, I bet it's like IKEA. Have you've been to IKEA, right?
Yeah.
You know how you walk through and everything in there is like, oh no, you can buy this. This room we decorated, there's a tag on everything. Even in like the cafeteria, everything is something you can buy, even where you're sitting, the tables you're eating off of, the plates, like everything is something you can buy. Maybe her show, the set is just like, oh, everything I'm wearing, everything that I'm sitting on, the guests that come in, like everything you see is something you can buy, maybe.
I'm trying to see if QVC Plus has like shows right now. I mean, some of this is HSN, although I guess that's just Home Shopping Network. But these are what, like, well, HSN, David's Recipe Corner, Corned Beef and Cabbage Stew.
What about HHN?
The List with Debbie D. Gem Sale. Because all these other things are sales shows. Yeah, Gem Day Sale.
F-Slur Millionaires.
Denim and Company. The Sandal Shop.
Oh, so just a bunch of like dog shit. I guess then that's the perfect place for Busy Phillips to be, is a place where everything's dog shit.
Yeah, what do we have on here? QVC Plus 2, QVC 3, QVC West. In the Kitchen with David. In the Kitchen with David PM edition.
For 4 hours in the middle of the night? Sounds like must-watch TV.
You need to sign in
never
for
once.
This. And 30 no, but it's
years
literally like just selling shit.
Years ago to write.
So I wonder if her show's going to be this as well. Busy Phillips getting a new late-night talk show. The host of short-lived e-talker Busy Tonight.
Was that short-lived? I feel like we covered it for like 3 years.
Maybe it just felt like that.
You know what it probably did.
We'll return to the genre with Busy This Week, which will stream on the Shopping Network QVC streamer. During each half-hour episode, viewers will join Busy on the couch to get an unscripted take on whatever has kept us busy this week. From celebrity guest interviews and laugh-out-loud moments to personal stories and her favorite curated... Oh, there it is. Her favorite curated shopping finds.
All right, there it is. Yep.
Busy will give her audience a healthy dose of retail therapy. Oh, great.
Why is retail in brackets?
Just like because they're sneaking it in. They're sneaking the pee in. The show
just
will
the
launch,
tip, baby.
The show will launch May 8th at 10 p.m. I can't wait. Season one will be split.
I can't wait.
With the first 10 episodes released weekly on Wednesdays and then 4 holiday-themed episodes premiering later this year in November and December.
There's no episodes yet?
No, I wish.
This is you sneaking the pee into me.
Yeah, this is a tease.
You're sneaking the pee into me right now.
Busy This Week is produced by Phillips, Casey, St. Ange, blah, blah, blah. They picked up Phillips Busy This Week after previously working with her on the 2022 holiday special. Maybe we could look for this.
Yes.
Busy for the Holidays, where she shared her best tips, tricks, hacks, and snacks to get through the season stress-free.
Jim?
Stress-free.
We need to look that up immediately.
Yeah. First time. As noted above, this is not her first time dabbling in late night. Oh, okay. It was from October 2018 to May 2019.
Wow. That's
it? Her show. It does seem like it was much longer.
How on earth was it for that short a period of time?
Oh, is this just an ad for it? Busy Phillips sets comedic shopping special.
How long is it?
She's the fucking worst, dude.
I saw she's on some Netflix show about like a girl band that grew up, but now they have to like do something.
Oh, fuck. Five Ever.
Oh, yeah, Friends Five Ever or something like that.
I think that was on a different network, and now it's like either... I don't know if it's like moving to Netflix or it's just now available.
I think it is, because they're saying like the first 3 seasons are up, but they're like now it's a Netflix show. That's all I know about recent Busy Phillips. I want to see this fucking show. I want to see Busy
Do they not
the
have it on demand for us? No, that's Seth MacFarlane.
But it says Busy for the Holidays. Maybe he was a guest. Maybe he was singing.
More to come. Lily Phillips. But then it's only coming up because of Lily Phillips.
Oh. Who the fuck's
Man
Lily
Crush.
Phillips?
Man Crush every day.
Why can't we find this thing?
This I don't think is from the show.
Hi,
this
I'm Natalie.
No.
I'm a licensed.
Shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
Let me watch her. We'll watch her her ad for it anyways.
Season QVC Plus. Now listen, there's a lot to do this holiday season. QVC Plus and I have teamed up for this magical holiday special where hopefully we can help you find the right last-minute gifts, make a better-than-passable Christmas morning breakfast, and have the coolest treat imaginable. We might even have time for a cocktail. Spoiler, we're gonna have time for a cocktail. Everything is gonna be okay.
Wait, what? I thought that was gonna be a pun or something.
Yeah. What did
she said it like that was like there's a pun in there or like there's some wordplay happening. I'm confused. Is she just like reassuring me? Is she just helpfully reassuring me?
It's almost like just buy this stuff, you'll feel much better. Like it's all gonna be okay.
Why
you're gonna be okay. Say the goddamn words. Fucking Reservoir Dogs. You're gonna be okay. Fuck, they don't have it for streaming. Unless maybe on the QVC channel. Probably not.
Can we pirate it?
Do you think someone is? Someone was like, "We gotta get this up there."
I mean, you can. One can only hope.
How busy this week? Is it busy for the holidays? That
busy
was
for the holidays. Yeah. Because they had it in quotes. Come on. Damn it. God damn it.
Oh, there's already the page for her upcoming show.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, god damn it. I wish we knew about her other show. I would have loved to watch her try to slang. Yeah, like wine glasses. Fucking.
Probably like a build your own s'mores kit.
Yeah, like a waxing gear for your ass.
Yeah, waxing your ass gear. An air fryer, but like a cheap one. Probably pink. It's probably a pink air fryer.
Oh, my God. I love this.
Oh, my God. These tater tots are so crispy. I can't even believe that.
Let me see.
Yeah, let's pirate Busy for the Holidays.
Is it on the Pirate Bay?
Jim, it's
I mean, can you imagine if someone really ripped this and they were seeding it too? Like, well, we gotta share this shit. This shit's good.
I'd be so happy. Please, come
no,
the fuck
no
on.
Results.
Come the fuck on. What is the even point, pirates?
Yeah.
If not, like the whole point of being a pirate is to say, well, it's also like.
Yeah, we're archiving history, like art history.
Stuff is just disappearing, and if we don't save Busy for the Holidays, who will?
Well, I guess since we can't find that, it did. I did see on the side headlines that reminded me of this story I saw before we started.
Okay.
That new Muscle Mommy movie with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
Some guy was jacking off in the theater and he passed out.
His dick's out?
Someone took a picture of him.
Wait, he's got a bunch of alcohol. He got drunk. Jerked off and then
jerking. It was at Love Lies Bleeding. I guess it just came out this weekend too.
Well, look, you can tell that this guy waited for the entire credits and for them to clean because the lights are on.
Yeah, the lights are on. Yeah, it's one of those sit down like eat in bar theater. Is that a pack of cigarettes?
He's got a pack of cigarettes and a fucking like a blue shot of peanut butter whiskey.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and a vape. He's got a vape.
Went to go see Love Lies Bleeding, and this drunk guy jacked himself off to sleep. For the record, the manager handled the situation professionally and appropriately. The manager was extremely apologetic and very nice.
Can you zoom in on his cock? It looks real small.
Yeah, it looks like you can see his small, his tiny dick.
Got like a little tiny dick.
Know, the way the Twitter code is, it won't let me zoom.
Right
in
click
on it.
It and copy image address, and then paste that image address.
Yeah, let's take a look here.
And zoom in here. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. It's a little mushroom head.
It's just this sad little dick and he's passed out.
To be fair, he probably blew his load, so it just shriveled up as he fell asleep.
Oh my God, look at him. He's well dressed for being a guy who jerks up in a movie theater.
Yeah,
and
dude,
falls
wait,
asleep.
And he has two fucking things of Fireball there. He must have brought those in.
That's
huh?
what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Your boy Blue.
And a
alcohol.
Vape and his Marlboros.
Two vapes. Yeah. A pack of smokes, two vapes, and two Fireball whiskeys or whatever they are.
Is this dude's rocking?
This is.
Yeah, Goldbricker saying dude's rock in the
this
chat.
This is undeniably dude's rock. Where did he come? Rock.
Yeah,
I don't see
know.
Cum on his hands. I don't see cum on his jeans or on his jacket.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. From far away, I thought there was like a little splooge, but I guess it's just a shadow.
Yeah, there's no cum on the floor.
Maybe
did he cum in his mouth?
Maybe he's just got a weak load to go with his weak dick.
Ah, yeah, maybe he's shooting blanks with that fucking whack little dick. That fucking pathetic little dick.
Maybe
he's
he was
got.
Just edging, waiting for the right part of the movie, and it never came, and he fell asleep.
It really looks like someone chopped his dick off. But then they chopped the head off the shaft and then they glued
yes,
the head back
really
to where the yeah. shaft was. And then it's just like, oh, I'm doing the best I can. And then he's just like, wow, what a pathetic little dick.
Although, is that? No, I wasn't sure if that was like
is
a little
cum?
Dried cum, maybe.
No, dude, I don't know where the cum is.
Yeah, no, where
is it in the cup holder?
Where'd the cum go?
Did he cum in the cup holder?
Where'd your cum go?
Yeah, where'd your cum, bro? Hey, pal. That's thick pubes. Like I said, they're not long, they're thick. Where's his cum?
Dude, he must have been comfy as shit to just fall asleep.
Well, and that's one of the seats you have to pay more for because it has the table next to it.
Oh, yeah.
Where like the table, like the chairs, not every chair has the table set up like that.
Well, and I assume then... Maybe the cum's under his jacket. Because I assume he had his jacket when he was jacking off.
Yeah.
He probably had his jacket over
yeah,
his
over.
Lap there.
So maybe it's inside his jacket
yeah,
where he just
came in his sleep.
But I don't know, man. That's a lot
probably
of cum.
Not, though.
It's going to start dripping down.
Yeah.
And he'd feel like it'd be all over his hands and pants.
What a fucking way to go, dude.
Dude, hell yeah. You know what? Did the manager have to come in and wake him up? Like, excuse
they must
me,
have,
because
then there's a picture of him getting... Oh, wait, no. I thought that he was being escorted, but maybe not. I guess that's just the cops going in to get him. I wish we got to see the cops bringing him out.
Yeah. I wish we got to see the cum coming out of his dick. I want to know what that guy's dick looks like hard. I just don't see how there's any room for it to change.
This is some random on Twitter, so who knows? But don't ask how, but I'm hearing the guy used to work there at that location back in the day.
No, that's just, I feel like that's a guy on Twitter just saying a thing.
Yeah, just say a thing.
Don't ask, because he even says, don't ask me how.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks. Thanks, God. This is proof that God exists. Oh, you know how people are like, if God didn't exist, then a banana wouldn't fit perfectly in your hand. Jim, proof that God exists is that this happened, and we got a picture.
And we got a picture of
it. We got a cocks-out picture of it. Because imagine a non-cocks-out picture of it. We'd still find the story entertaining. But, Jim, we got a full-on, well-lit, cocks-out picture with two fireball shots, two vapes, and an empty pack of cigarettes while a guy's passed out with his cock out.
Although Ben Salami, the person that took this picture, because someone's like, just posted my guy's small bird like that. And he's like, I don't care that his dick was out. I care about him yelling during the movie. Was he yelling?
I don't know. I still feel like that. You can't trust anyone in the comments.
Well, I only trust him because he took the photo, though. At that point, because it's the same guy. Ugly ex-Korean Ben Salami, aka Ben Salami. He's the one that took the picture.
Okay, let's pretend hypothetically that we had a friend who would get drunk in movies.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't jerk off, but he would yell during them.
That's true.
Now, we also have friends who would accuse us of being loud in movies.
Yeah.
But we're also hilarious when we choose to do it, and we only choose to do it in the right movies. But I'm simply saying I don't think it's that crazy for someone to get drunk and yell during a movie.
Yeah, this is very true.
Maybe he's just trying to like get some like collateral clout off the initial tweet. But I feel like
I don't think he would even have to. Yeah, no, I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I don't
think it's funny to think the guy was also yelling.
Whoa, he's a Detroit straight edge guy. He's definitely not lying,
this dude.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing if he had anything else to say about it.
What if he's like, yeah, this guy passed out, jerking off. Also, this was the sexiest movie of the year.
I guess it was the MJR Southgate Cinema 20, if that's in your neighborhood, wherever that is.
I wonder if Tom knows where that is. Tom was a Chicago boy.
Oh, that's right.
I wonder if Tom's ever jerked off and passed out in that movie theater.
Okay, yeah, it does look like the guy was arrested. He was sitting, at the very least, he was in the back of the squad car. I mean, I guess that's not outrageous to get arrested for that, though. Just having your dick out, jerking off in a theater.
Now, the good thing is it wasn't a crowded theater, it seems like. So So I doubt it was a public display indecency, like, intended thing. I think it was I'm drunk and high, and I love these muscle mommies so much that I can't help but just, I just got to work the pig.
Although someone's like,
Jim, he merely had to work the pig.
He had to work the pig. Because someone's like, dude, me and my girlfriend and our two friends were sitting in front of you guys directly next to this mutant. You showed us the photo. Wow. And then he's like, it's funny because he was also causing a scene during the opening of Madam Web. Were they there for a fucking double? Maybe it was a double feature, apparently.
Yeah, maybe. I wonder if he was working the pig during Madam Web.
Maybe that's what got him all in the froth. And he's like, oh, hell yeah, Kristen Stewart, Muscle Mommy, coming up next.
Damn. Huh.
Oh, people are getting on him for narking. Narking is not epic. What are you talking
about? He didn't nark.
But even if he did, I don't blame you. If a guy was being disruptive and then you found out after he's passed out with his cock out, you're all right to tell the manager at that point.
It's picture time, baby.
Manager's called the cops. I got free tickets. What's with the liquor and pack of smokes and what looks like coke and a rolled up dollar bill? I guess, yeah, they did look like a rolled up dollar bill there.
Well, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, and people are like, you didn't narc, did you? Come on. We're that ACAB that we're not going to even call the cops on a man with his dick out and potentially coke in a theater.
Can I be completely honest? Yeah. It wouldn't even occur to me to call the cops on him.
Yeah, well,
I wouldn't call the cops,
but if I told the manager and the manager called the cops, I wouldn't be like, what? Why are you calling the police?
It also wouldn't occur to me to talk to the manager. I don't know if I'm just stupid, but
my
intent would be to get a picture and tell you and Jeff. And Chad probably friends from work, but the last thing in the world I'd be thinking about was telling a manager.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen, Mike, the dark snitcher. Because I would absolutely be like, this guy's being disrupted through the whole movie. I got up to leave, and now I walk by he's got his dick out and fireball and all kinds of shit. Like, you got to do something about what's going on in there.
You know what's crazy is you can see that the fireball isn't empty. Mm. So he wasn't even like three sheets to the wind jerking off. He was like a smooth buzz, and he's like, time to fucking time to work the pig.
Why he could? Oh, someone else is like, why couldn't he finish? We had an altercation with this same guy during Madam Web. So yeah, they were doing double features, dude.
Huh. Well, good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
I have no, I harbor no ill will towards this man because he gave me a gift.
Yeah, let's look. Let me look at his.
His little dick?
No, not his dick. I just want his spread that he's got going on over here.
No, that looks to me, that looks like either a cigarette or a Q-tip.
That could be a rolled up dollar bill, though. And that's maybe that could be kind of like, if this is like a coaster or something, that could be Coke.
I think, no. I think that is too.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't. I'm just saying I wouldn't be surprised if it was either.
It's too perfectly rolled to be a rolled up dollar bill of any kind. But yeah, look, he barely even drank. He must have been like drinking hard in Madam Web.
Although maybe he already tossed the two empties. Yeah, he was already drinking beforehand.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like an airline. They give you the cups to pour in, and he really had only worked the one. Well, he had worked two things. That one drink and then his hog. Mm.
Yeah, Zenpai in the chat, dude's cock.
Yeah, dude's cock
dude's
for sure.
Cock, man.
This is for sure dude's cock.
What a hero.
Yeah, I was gonna say, hero, but I wasn't sure. And then you finished my sentence for me.
Does Variety have any other details? Lewd sexual behavior during Love Lies Bleeding screening in Detroit. Arrested, engaging in lewd behavior. Police department confirmed to Variety that a patron was arrested after a Thursday night screening of the Norse thriller and is still in police custody as of Friday morning. He's not yet been arraigned and no charges have been brought forth. Ongoing investigation. Yeah, not safe for work. Photo of the man asleep in a reclining movie theater with his penis exposed was posted to Twitter/X.
See, if I was the director of this movie, I'd invite this guy somewhere and be like, hey, man, thank you. Because this is I don't know if I'd call this an indie movie, but this is a small movie.
And this is some press.
And this is some kick-ass press for the movie.
Yep.
Here's the thing. I know that Kristen Stewart's kind of cringe these days, but I love her so much. I just love her an unhealthy amount. And if I was Kristen Stewart and I saw this guy, I'd be like, dude, do you want to fucking hang out?
Yeah.
Let's hang out.
Dude, do you want to go jack off together?
Yeah. Hey, do you want to go do something? Do you want to have our penises exposed in a movie theater?
Do you want to go watch Kristen Stewart films and jack off with me? I'm just gonna jack off.
I also like that in the replies, ugly Korean confirmed.
Yeah, I like because you could tell this dude, he was probably getting DMs where they were like, hey, can we use this picture or this like this story or whatever? And he was probably like, because the reply was most likely, yeah, as long as you give me credit.
Yeah,
because everyone that sources it, sources his, like, even this One Take News sources his Twitter. He's probably like, yeah, as long as you give me credit, go for it. I grant you permission to get clout for this because you're just profiteering off of someone else's faux pas, if you will.
This is great. This is just wonderful. I'm so happy. Thank you. Thank you, everyone involved. Thank you, Love Lies Bleeding.
Yep.
Thank you, the MJR Southgate Cinema. Thank you, Ugly Korean. And thank you, man who did this. Because like without all of you, this never would have been possible.
Oh, that actually, speaking of Madam Web, Madam Web's like on demand now. Is it worth us, if I've already gone over the movie, is it worth us even doing a commentary?
Yes.
Think so? Good.
Because the way you...
I was thinking so too, but then I wasn't sure.
The way you described it was so baffling that I'm willing to bet that there's so much you couldn't even cover because in a movie that bad, the bad that rises to the top is going to be crazy. But if it was any other movie, all the bad that wasn't worth remarking would be the bad that rose to the top in those movies.
True.
So I bet you that we could get something out of it. Plus, it's that kind of nice thing where it's like, we don't want anyone to go see that movie.
No, yeah.
So, and I sure as fuck, I don't even want to watch it, let alone pay for it. But if I'm going to, I'm doing it as a Jim and Them commentary. So it's kind of the perfect situation.
Yeah,
dude,
I'm with it.
What if someone was watching Anatomy of a Fall and they were jerking off and fell asleep?
Trying to watch Anatomy of a Fall, this guy jacked himself to sleep.
I was watching Zone of Interest and just kind of felt pretty rusky. Yeah.
I forgot to mention how when I watched Anatomy of the Fall of a Fall a month and a half ago or whatever, I did watch it through certain means, if you will.
At the Beverly.
Yeah.
And you paid money.
No, not really. But anyways, I watched it at home, but I got duped for almost like an embarrassing amount of time that like I don't want to admit, where like I knew very little about this movie, right?
Did you watch something that wasn't the movie?
No, it's even worse.
Oh no.
Like I knew very little about this movie. I knew it had something to do with because they described it very vaguely on a film podcast I listened to. And I knew it already, this was before it was like announced it was nominated for Oscars and stuff, but I knew it had some buzz. Critics liked it.
Right.
And they had said like it kind of is like a weird deep look into a marriage and how you can never really understand how a relationship is on the inside or whatever. That's okay. All I really knew. And I knew it was called Anatomy of a Fall, but I wasn't quite sure if it was like literally about a fall or whatever.
Sure.
So I downloaded it and I'm watching it. And, you know, part of it's in like a lot of it's in subtitles anyways.
Sure.
And so it starts out with this scene like there's a dog and there's a kid giving the dog a bath. And then this lady's being interviewed by someone else and they're having this discussion. And then music starts playing upstairs really loud. And you get the hint that there's like she mentions it's her husband. And you get a weird hint that this must be like they're not on the best terms because she makes a comment like he's being passive aggressive, playing sure. loud music. You're doing this interview. The interviewer says something like, well, maybe we'll have to come back and do it another time because of the noise, blah, 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 et cetera. And then all of a sudden it like cuts to like they're in court. And then when they're in court, they play a recording of an argument. And then during the argument, it cuts back to like rather than just playing the recording, you're seeing it play out. And then after that, then it cuts back to the dog again, and then it cuts back to the interview happening, and it does that like three times. And I'm like, wow, this is an interesting artistic choice to make you watch the same scene a few times so you start to look at it in a different light.
Uh-huh.
Until I'm like, wait, then when it starts for like the third time, I'm like, wait a minute. Because it's a 2-hour long thing, and I start fast forwarding through it, and I realize it's the same two scenes over and over again. But I've been watching it for like 18 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
And I'm like,
time.
They fucking got me. Like someone put up a fake file, but it was 2 hours of the same two scenes. And I'm like, huh, what a artistic choice to keep going inside of a scene because you're almost looking at it with fresh eyes every time because now you have a little bit more context each time. And then till like
you're already writing your Letterboxd review. you're pre-writing it.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. And then I had to go and like look at the files and then check it. Because also I don't want to spoil it. Like I'm like worried that if I fast forward, am I going to spoil something? But then I'm like, huh. Still doing that interview again. Still doing that same argument from the court. Then all of a sudden there's a different file and it started completely different. Those scenes are not next to each other in the movie. So I had quite a rude awakening when I was just thinking it was high art. And I feel like I actually had a conversation with Jacob Burrows where he was mentioning something similar happened to him where he was I think he saw something in the theater or something, and it was like super dark. And he was like, what interesting artistic choice to do this when it was really just everything was fucked up, and you just assume they're fucking with you.
Okay, I have two stories that I will share with you. One of them is similar to the Burroughs one, where when you come back from your PlayStation being asleep, if you're watching Amazon streaming, when you pause the show, it kind of gives you that like almost like dark filter over the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when you come back from it and you play, the dark filter doesn't go away. I watched 3 episodes of Fringe being like, I don't remember these episodes being so dark. And then they're like in awareness. I'm like, I can literally barely see anything. And then I grabbed my controller to do something and then it lightened up and I'm like,
you motherfucker. That was me. Yep.
Then I watched an episode and a half of a show on Netflix. I think it was called The Cave. It was like a Welsh show that became popular because people liked it, like wanted to watch stuff after Stranger Things got popular. And so, you know, Netflix has a lot of that, like English dubbed only, where like you can tell like, oh, the English I'm hearing is clearly not the mouth movements.
Yeah.
So I watched an episode where the mouth movements weren't even close to the dialogue. in fact, half the time the dialogue didn't even match the scene I was watching. And I'm like, wow, they're not even close. I watched an episode and a half of it until I realized, like, I think they're just playing dialogue from a different show. And I had to restart Netflix. And then when I went back in and rewatched the first episode, the dialogue was there and it wasn't one of those shows.
It
had no dubs at all. It was just the voices coming out of their mouths. And I'm like, I watched an episode and a half of this. And I convinced myself I was following it enough to think, like, no, I've watched one. Let's jump into the next. I don't know what was going through my head.
And even like it's even just thinking like, the more I watch, it'll get less distracting. Yes. It's probably the only thing you're focusing on the whole time.
Or I'll figure it out. Like, it must be like, people keep talking about this. This must be a weird, like, is this like Tenant? And like, so, like, I'll realize like, oh shit, at some point in time in the middle, it's going to sync up and then whack out again. This is the dumb shit I'm telling myself.
It's going to get there. It's going to make sense.
Yeah. Until I'm like,
just stick with it.
Until I'm like, perhaps I am retarded. Maybe the most simple solution is the most accurate one.
That reminded me, I forget. I think it might have been something on Peacock maybe, or maybe it was Paramount Plus. But it was like around Halloween. I remember I was watching something kind of spooky. But they had a thing where, like, I don't know if Amazon or the other ones do this, but sometimes when you pause it, they'll have like an ad come up.
Yes, Amazon does that. Or, no, Netflix does that now.
Oh,
when
okay.
you Netflix, like you pause it, if you wait like 30 seconds, it like minimizes the show.
Yeah.
And then on the border is like the shit that would normally like flash as ads.
Yeah. And I remember what it is now. And I mean, maybe it was on purpose, but I'm not sure because I was watching something already kind of spooky and I paused it for a second. But when I paused it, it did a smile ad. And it like scared the fuck because I didn't realize what it was at first.
What the fuck?
Like I thought it was just something else weird came up on the TV. Like it took a second to register.
Yeah,
it was
just that split second while your brain catches up.
Yeah, and it scared the shit out of me.
Oh, fuck that, dude. No, thank you. I was, what movie was it? I was watching a trailer for a movie. It's when I went and saw something. And there was a trailer and it scared. You know what? There's the story. I went and saw something. There was a trailer.
I got scared.
It scared me. That's as much of the story as I remember. I wish I didn't start it. I'm sorry to everybody.
And then kind of related, one thing I really like, because I recently got caught up. I mentioned Evil last week, I think. But I finally did get caught up on Evil. And a small thing they do that I really like, because they always play with like weird things of like a kind of a current thing now, but they have like a scary explanation for it. Like even they like, have a version
like
of
National Treasure, like alternate history, like
in a way, like, well, they had a site that was essentially TikTok, but it was called something different. Cause obviously they couldn't use TikTok,
sure.
But there was like, it was like haunted in a weird way. Like there was like a way that it was trying to make people evil or a haunting was traveling through it. Like they do almost like Black Mirror-ish type stuff, but with like possessions or ghosts or demons or whatever.
Okay.
And one fun thing that I like that they do is it's one of those shows where like the cold open can sometimes be like 10 minutes almost before it goes to the intro. And so like you forget almost because then all of a sudden it'll cut and it's doing like it is like even a lot of shows don't even have intros anymore, but this does have like an intro credit thing. And as it's playing, the button comes up where it says skip intro, And then a second later, a thing comes up on the screen that says, if you skip this intro, you'll be haunted.
Oh, so, yeah, dude, it's pretty that's fun. Fucking yeah. cool.
And I never
I
skip
love
it.
Shit like yeah. that. I love fun things like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's cool.
I often wonder why more people don't... like. I'm sure the answer is it's harder than you think. Mm. Like, not to be Mike, but the little Dickie episode of Hot Ones,
yeah.
He talks about, like, the show, and one of the questions is, like, hey, can you tell me something that, like, makes making a TV show harder than doing an album? And he was like, here's the thing. When I write a script, I am constantly surprised by how fucking hard it is to do simple shit because it costs money and takes time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I write a scene where there's a dog in it, we have to, like, call 1,000 people and find a guy that can get a dog that day, and then there has to be, like, the dog trainer and 7 dog safety professionals and a representative from the Foundation of Animal Abuse and there's all these things. And it's not because like the dog's important. It's just because like the guy's house I'm at, he has a pet dog or something. Mm. And like, I bet you that story is why more people don't do that kind of fun thing, because I bet you there's a weird, dumb amount of work that might yeah. have to go into it. And that most people just be like, yeah, fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah, fuck it. It's a small, like, because it's a, like, I get your point, because it's a small, cool thing, but it's also a thing you could easily take away and it wouldn't change. Like, similar to what yes. he's saying, like having a dog in a scene. The dog's not important to the scene, but hey, I just picture it with a dog.
Yeah.
Or it'd be maybe, and now it's funnier with the dog, but then it's, am I going to jump through all these extra hoops?
Yes.
To have that is it that worth? Is this battle worth it?
Because it's both things. You get to tell me, and I'm like, holy shit, that's super cool.
Yeah.
But then someone goes, so if you get rid of it, does anyone not wash? And you go, well, no, but it's super cool. I kind of want to do it. And then it's like, all right, how many arguments and conversations yeah. and Zoom calls and emails and revisions and meetings and then revisions to meetings and then secondary meetings do I want to have so I can add that second box?
Well, because even like a thing of like, yeah, what kind of timing do we have to do? What kind of like code do we have to write?
Yes. Do we have to get permission from Netflix? Yeah. Do they have to do like, if we do this one time, do we have to do it in every episode? If we do it in every episode, does that ruin the novelty? Like, I'm sure there's 1,000 things involved, but I do sometimes wonder why more people don't do fun stuff like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's cool. That's super cool. I like that.
Let's see. Before we finish up here, what else we got?
Before we get drunk and finish up and then fall asleep.
let's see. Oh, here's a quick story. Let me find it real quick here.
I hope that it's disgusting, because I'm a fan of stories like that.
Yeah, here it is.
Uh-oh.
These two ladies took a guy's body to the bank so they could get his dead body so they could get some money out, like from his identity or something like that.
Wait, what?
So it's like a real classic fucking Weekend at Bernie's type scenario, apparently.
Were they trying to make him seem like he was real? Did they prop him up in the car and they're like, yeah, he's right there.
I purposely didn't watch the video. I just saw the headlines. So
oh my God, look at them. They're a couple old kooks. Yeah.
With gross abuse of a corpse and theft after they allegedly took a dead man to a bank and used his identity to take money out of his account. This happened in Ohio. Bree Buckley has the grim details of the case that have left both a family and investigators stunned.
Whoa.
I couldn't do that to an animal. I don't understand what they were thinking and how that money meant that much to them.
With an animal, I mean, to be fair, some people stuff animals and like keep them in their house. And
I'm guessing his point is like, I wouldn't even do that with an animal.
Yeah.
How could someone do it with a person?
Yeah.
Also, I hope it's for less than $200.
Yes. No, and I imagine it probably is. It's probably a very small amount yes. of money.
For James Hubbard, he says it's hard to think of what happened to his stepfather, 80-year-old Doug Lehman.
It's funny because I almost wonder, is this picture, yes. is he dead?
Because he's wearing a hat and sunglasses,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And his mouth ain't doing anything.
Police say these two women, 63-year-old Karen Kasbaum and 55-year-old Lorene Ferrallo, lived with the elderly man at his home in Ashtabula. Authorities say they found him dead at home Thursday morning, then took his body to a bank drive-thru nearby, withdrawing hundreds of dollars. James says,
why are there cuts like a YouTube video?
Yeah, yeah, it really is cut just like a bad, like a YouTube documentary or whatever.
Like they had audio but no video, so they added their own of just like, they went to the bank with this guy, and it's just like, this is cut together by an amateur.
They just didn't have B-roll to play or something?
Yeah, I guess not.
It also, it's hilarious to think that, like, well, first of all, it sounds just sus anyways. They just lived with this guy for some reason. Yeah. Like, who knows? But then it's like, oh, man, he's dead. Well, let's bring him to the bank first. Like, we'll tell everyone, but we got to get money first.
I wonder what else they did with him. There's no way they went straight to the bank.
Withdrawing hundreds of dollars. James says Karen was his stepfather's girlfriend for the last few years.
Okay.
He was in a position where he didn't want to live alone. He's been run through hell with this woman. 3 years of drugs, stealing, selling his stuff.
After taking his body to get the cash, police say the women dumped him at the emergency room of the Ashtabula County Medical Center and drove off without leaving any identification or information.
I need to know how they did it. Later, my guess, okay, my only guess.
But also, yeah, because it's like, if you're just going to an ATM, you don't even need the body there.
Maybe they didn't have a card, so they went, but they knew what they needed to know. So they went to the window.
Maybe they had a check. Yeah, maybe they wrote it, forged a check.
Yeah. Because
then you could just put his ID. Because they show, like, even if you're at the window, or even better, if you're at the one where you just put the little canister.
Yeah, I think
in.
That's what they're probably like 3 lanes away, and he's in the car, and they're kind of just like,
he's just like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's like permitting up. Him. Yeah. Yeah.
He's propped up. Oh, here's my ID. Here's his ID.
Yeah.
They're probably talking loudly for him, like, here's John's ID and a check he's cashing. Right, John? And you're like, rrr.
Look, he's waving. Yeah. John, quit dancing to this music you love.
Yeah. Stop doing the, fuck, was it the Doug? Not the Dougie.
Oh, the Harlem Shake?
What, was it the Bernie, actually?
Oh, yeah, the Bernie.
Stop doing the Bernie. Grant Smith in the chat, he did a Smash, he went to a Smash Brothers tournament and,
Ashtabula? Did he win?
15 years ago. I guess maybe he just went. I don't know if he played in it.
Knowing my boy Grant, it was Project M and he was playing Bowser.
Yeah, he was.
Playing his stuff.
After taking his body to get the cash, police say the women dumped him at the emergency room of the Ashtabula County Medical Center.
I mean, at least they brought him to the emergency room. You could say that, at least.
After stealing his money, they dumped him at a Super Smash Brothers tournament in Ashtabula.
Drove off without leaving any identification or information.
They drove off without letting the team know what his mane was.
Well, and what that also makes us look like bad YouTube editing is because they just have this one picture of the girl on the right. And even before, it was like badly blown up to fill the screen.
Yeah, this is like, it really does feel like fake editing.
Mike is correct, but I didn't win. I think I got top 5 or so.
Dude, but I called it. Yeah. I know my boy Grant.
Well, the hospital.
But all that also means I know enough that if he ever stops listening, I'm going to talk shit about him.
One of them called the hospital after they were back at his house. That led police to the women who were later arrested and charged with gross abuse of a corpse and theft.
Why'd they call the hospital after? That shows they're kind of caring people.
Maybe they did the whole, like, we didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
We were afraid. We woke up and he was dead. We didn't know.
Back at his house. That led police to the women who were later arrested and charged with gross abuse of a corpse and theft.
It's a first for all of us, I think, here.
How much money? Tell us.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like this. An instance where somebody used a dead body to withdraw money from the bank. It's just very, very unusual.
As his family hopes he's not remembered.
Dude, look at him. Dude, he just looks like a zombie. I can't believe
that
person.
They took a dead body and propped him up for this photo.
Hurt by the tragic circumstances surrounding.
Look at this. Even the zoom in on the picture. Everything. This is amateur hour at WBIR channel.
They
10.
Have. They must have like a what do they call like an intern? They must have an intern doing
an intern
this, right?
Together.
Death.
It was heartbreaking that I couldn't get him out of that situation, but it was heartbreaking thinking about him dying alone.
Oh my God! Look at that woman's face.
Police say more charges could be coming as they continue to investigate. The coroner's office would not comment on cause of death pending the investigation, adding the results from an autopsy could take up to 8 months.
8 months? Jesus, come on now.
I have an idea. Let's just assume it was old age.
Yeah.
That, you know what? I've got a weird, I'm going to follow my gut here. And I think it might have been old age.
Woman allegedly admits to taking dead man to the bank to withdraw money. Let's see. Did they say the amount?
Yeah, I just want to know. It's insane that no one's saying how much.
Recorded. Wait. She allegedly admitted to the crime during a recorded phone call. They're just bumbling crooks, dude.
Yeah, they
really took a dead body to the bank, dropped him off at the hospital, called the hospital later, and then admit to it on a recorded call.
Ooh, 800. I mean, 900 right there.
Oh, where?
In the pink.
Okay, yeah, they were arraigned last week on charges of theft and gross abuse of a corpse after police said they propped up a dead man in a car, withdrew about $900 from his bank account, and then dropped off his body. Well, that's righteous bucks, though. $900
$900, that's not even 3 hours at the Galactic Star Cruiser, Jim.
Yeah, are you kidding me? But that's what? That's a few days at Disney, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a park hopper, even.
Dude, that's 3 days. Yep. With Park Hopper, with Genie Plus, and you're not even thinking about what, like, the amount you're spending on food because you know it's covered.
That's righteous.
Yeah, that's righteous bucks for that's Ruggs money.
The women were not related to the victim identified as Douglas Lehman, but lived at his home. They had previously been allowed by the bank to withdraw money from Lehman's account as long as he was. Oh, okay. So there was like this understanding, like he had been with them to the bank before. So they had previously allowed him to withdraw money if he was in the car. So they just saw he was sitting there. So they didn't prop him up, but they didn't
still probably
have
had someone in the back seat being like,
well, plus, yeah, also like all the pictures of him, he's always wearing his hat and sunglasses. So yeah, this dude, you could easily not tell that this guy is dead.
How fucking lucky are they that this guy already in life looks like he's being a dead man propped up.
Yeah.
They're like, he always wears a hat, he always wears sunglasses, and he looks just like a skeleton. Yeah,
with his mouth agape.
Oh my God. They couldn't have been living with a better man to die.
He died. A person believed to be Casbohm's relative on the phone call did ask when the victim died. He died when I said he died, a woman identified as Casbohm responded. She then went on to say he died walking out the door on the afternoon of March 4th. During the phone call, Casbohm was in a wheelchair, allegedly saying Ferralo could not lift Lehman, so they called a male friend to help. The relative can be heard on the phone call asking Casbohm why she didn't call the police. I just figured I'd go to the bank and then to the hospital and drop him off. I just forgot to leave his name. He died before he went to the bank, dude, the relative said. I know, Casbohm allegedly said. Both Casbohm.
Fucking Han Solo move right there, dude.
Both Casbohm and Ferralo appeared in municipal court on Tuesday and waived their right to a preliminary hearing. They'll now be sent to the Ashtabula County Grand Jury to determine if they should be indicted. Friends and family members of the victim were at the court hearing and said they want justice for Lehman, adding that he trusted both women and let them live with him. Her drug abuse over the years has increased her infection status where she can't walk. She hasn't been able to walk for several years now. The victim died on March 4th. His cause of death is pending. The bond for each woman is set for $5,000. If convicted, they could face up to a year in prison on each charge.
Well, I think it's good that he died just like he lived, looking like a corpse or something propped up as a goof.
What is it? Convicted indie drug dealer sentenced to life in prison for what?
Whoa. As opposed to a professional drug dealer.
Is it just for dealing that amount of drugs or did he do something? Suspect Keith Jones was convicted of operating a continuing criminal enterprise, which included more than 20 people.
That doesn't sound like that many.
Conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance, conspiracy to launder monetary instruments, possession of a firearm or convicted felon, and drug trafficking.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying any of that sounds not
but
serious.
But life? That doesn't
sound like
crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like... Yeah. Like, don't you only go to prison for like 2 years if you rape someone?
Yeah, I mean, that's happened.
Hmm.
I mean, I get it. Give him like, 10, 20 years, whatever it is.
Yeah. Give him more than someone who raped somebody. That's this man's opinion.
Yeah. We're just going out on a limb here. We're the edgy dudes saying saying what's going down.
I've got a hot take. Maybe this drug bust, the guy shouldn't get life if a rapist only gets 3 years.
I mean, I guess his operation distributed at least 300 pounds of methamphetamine, 20 kilograms of fentanyl, and 50 kilograms of cocaine. But again, yeah, I could see a couple decades.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not, again, this guy was doing bad stuff, but life in prison?
Oh, no. Severe weather destroys Winchester Taco Bell?
What?
When the news crews headed to the area Friday morning, the damage was apparent, but it was hard to tell precisely what happened to the restaurant in the dark. Indianapolis sucks, dude.
News crews arrived at 3, but waited until 7 to find out what happened.
Yo, this shit's fucked up. It's pretty dark, though. I can't really tell.
Yeah, boss, we're here. We think it might be destroyed, but we're going to have to wait till sunup, dude.
Daylight provided the proper perspective. Reporter Cameron Rydell and photographer Marcus Collin found out. It's been right under our nose. He's been reporting from the area throughout the morning. All that remained of the structure were remnants of the drive-through sign. I mean, now I'm seeing video. It took daytime for them to figure out this whole Taco Bell was gone.
It looks like War of the Worlds, dude.
Let's get into this. Hold on a second. They didn't have camera lights or something to turn on?
Dude, every cell phone has a light. Yeah. It literally looks like a disaster
Cameron
movie.
Cameron Rydell, who was live this morning, has moved closer to this Taco Bell that, among other things, is just flattened. Is that right, Cameron?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to have some words with Tyler Ryan a little bit, because he stole our thunder with our discovery of the Taco Bell. He didn't tell me what he was going to do when he asked for that picture. Earlier, we were down there. I want to give perspective of
He's upset about something. Apparently, he got scooped by the picture.
I think he was with a guy, and a guy posted the picture online before the story could break.
He got scooped.
We were down there where the news crews were, and in front of the Goodwill, which was very obvious that is the Goodwill. But I told you, we've been looking for this Taco Bell all morning. It's been right under our nose, and at the last time we were on, I wanted to say that I think that was the Taco Bell, but I wasn't sure because it was too dark. As we moved closer, that is indeed the Taco Bell. I could see that structure and what looked like what was left of the drive-through sign.
Oh, yeah, you could see the drive-through
the
there.
The little yellow thing to keep trucks.
Left. How did we know this was the Taco Bell? Well, because of this picture that Tyler Ryan just showed you. The iconic sign of Taco Bell is completely knocked down, gone. The rest of it, we know that iconic shape. As we continue to walk around this parking lot, though.
Is this his first big story or something? He's way too excited and upset about
this. He's about to call the other guy an F-slur 3 times.
This is going to show you the cars that are completely flipped over, that have orange X's on them, that indicate that they've been checked. This is what is left is Taco Bell. Where do you see a building? There isn't a building here at all. The only reason we know that this is even here is because is literally left of the drive-thru.
These motherfuckers were driving around the block. Like, I swear to God, the Google Maps says it's here. Where is this Taco Bell?
Building left. Marcus, if you pan to the left, and that is the westerly direction, that's Taco Bell. That's where the building is. That's why we couldn't find it, because it has been spread everywhere but where it originally was. And you are seeing the path of the destruction. This is what the surveyors are going to come do today. Follow this path of debris and verify that this was a tornado, or exactly what it was and how strong it was. But
they don't even
as
know
you can
what
literally
happened.
See that it has completely moved things
like the
where
you
they
see
were
in a movie
yesterday.
When like aliens attacked or like Sam and Dean.
Godzilla minus one.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still trying to figure out what happened, where it went, what's going on.
You know what's funny is like these guys are reporters that were clearly out really early. I think what happened is they went to get breakfast.
Yeah.
They parked in a spot and they're like, yeah, we'll just wait for it to open.
Yeah.
Then the lights turn on. They're like, oh, fuck.
It's gone. It's not even there.
It's fucking gone. Okay. We need to come up with something.
Get the camera.
What if we say we were like driving around for a while looking for it?
All where they were today. And as the sun comes up, we're only seeing more and more devastation. But yes, the Taco Bell has been flattened. It's not even flattened, it's just gone. But the Walmart we've been hearing about appears to be standing. Goodwill, not in such good shape.
He's pretty bummed.
And whatever that building was that was behind Goodwill is also very, very heavily damaged. We're live this morning in Winchester.
Whatever that building was. If only there was a way to look at a map of a town or a city and figure out what building was behind the Goodwill.
Hi, yeah, I'm a reporter. We couldn't find this Taco Bell because it was too dark. Also, whatever building that was over there is also gone.
That's gone, too.
I don't know if it was a house. I don't know if it was a store.
Cameron, unbelievable pictures. Thank you so much. And again, it was like the search. Like, where is Taco Bell? I mean, here it was. Here's part of it.
The only thing that they were able to see was that drive-through sign. Incredible, for sure.
Oh my God. Jesus. What is going on with these
people?
They're
acting like the story isn't that there was a hurricane. They're acting like the story is these guys couldn't find Taco Bell.
Where was the Taco Bell?
Where the hell is this Taco Bell?
We do have teams in both Winchester and...
Jesus.
Wow.
They just don't got shit to do anymore.
Did they not notice that there was a tornado? Did a tornado like sneak up on them?
Dude, they didn't even notice the building was gone until the sunlight came out. They're living in the fucking Stone Age over in Winchester, Indiana.
It's
Jesus.
Like, you know how at the end of Jurassic Park, people will say that like you don't hear or see the T-Rex somehow sneak up right up next to them to grab the raptor right before it pounces on them all.
Yeah.
That's like what this hurricane apparently did to this Taco Bell. Is that no, like, even though these guys were just here and it's in a populated area, apparently it was too dark for them to know there was a hurricane. And it was too dark for them to know that this hurricane wreaked havoc on a chunk of their town.
Oh, man. We love the local news.
Yeah, thanks,
Shout
Indiana.
Out to the local news.
Thank God for Winchester, Indiana.
Time flies when you're having fun, ladies and germs.
Yeah. Hell of a...
Favorite part of the show!
There was something I was laughing super hard at. What was I laughing so hard at?
Let's see. What did we talk about? What did we talk about? I know we talked about the Dynasty doc. We talked about... I'm trying to think what we talked. Oh, the beginning we talked a lot about, talking shit about listeners.
Yes.
And driving them away and if people are still alive.
Yes.
But what did that lead into? I can't even remember.
Well, I remember something in part two. I think I was cracking up really, really hard.
Was it the F slurs and Dire Straits?
That was very funny.
We couldn't find the F slurs and Dire Straits.
That was very funny. It was something, it was like, honestly, it was pretty recent. I think it was like right before the segment.
We were talking about the guy being propped up for the bank. We were talking about Busy Phillips QVC show. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much.
Maybe
the
entire episode was my favorite part. Yeah. It was a very good episode. What the fuck was I talking about?
We talk about the Dynasty doc. We talked about Bill Belichick. We dabbled into wrestling for a little bit. We talked about Game Time.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, there was the prank guy.
Oh, yes. I forgot about
the
prank
guy getting shot.
Yeah, I love that guy getting shot.
Yeah, I love that he got shot. That was fantastic. There was that idiot that got kicked off Kick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're talking about the Zoomers and how they'll never listen to us.
Yeah, they'll never listen to us. But we're better for it.
Yeah.
And you know how you can get proof? Go to patreon.com/Jim and them.
What about the jerk-off guy?
Oh,
yes! How could we forget?
See, I told you, dude. I can't remember anything, even the thing I love more than anything.
Yeah, the jerk-off guy and his little dick.
I'm so happy that happened. Thank you. Thank you for remembering this obvious thing that happened fucking 20 minutes ago. Anyway, go to patreon.com/Jim and Them where you can find all sorts of fantastic Jim and Them extra content, both for free if you join the free tier, where we have populated a section of the Patreon with all sorts of shows that are in there for free. That won't be updating for a while. I feel like we've got a nice selection in there. We've got some nice, the beginnings of certain episodes that you might be interested in, the first couple episodes of certain shows. We've got a Jim Tervention. We've got a movie commentary. We've got a fantastic, like, some old, some new, all great, great stuff in there. So check out the free tier. If you like what you hear, join the Patreon formally. There's, like, quite literally thousands of things in there. We've been doing it for, like, 10 years now or something.
Yeah.
There's, like, I think when last time we did the math, there's, like, over 200 movie commentaries or something.
Mm-hmm.
Tons and tons of episodes of shows. If you like the show formally that we do, you're going to love the Patreon. Jim, tell them what kind of stuff they might find that we've been putting up recently.
Oh, my God. I mean, as you mentioned, we got Jim Terventions. We've got... Oh, I just put up a Dig Deep that I recorded with Kristen. That's where we discuss reality shows, specifically Survivor. Survivor 46 just started. So we discussed the first two episodes of that. We also discussed the season two of The Traitors, which just finished up. We also discussed some Love is Blind. And, of course, The Challenge. That's all at Dig Deep. We just recorded a new Caddy Studs Investigations, although there's another Caddy Studs that'll be going up on the Patreon shortly.
I like that show. That's one of my favorite new shows we've been doing. I think that it was one of those things where I wasn't sure if we got lucky the first time.
Yeah.
But then now we've done it a couple times, and I think it's good every time. And I think it's unique.
It's a different avenue. It's stuff we don't usually talk about. So yes. It opens up some avenues, which is nice to hear.
I think a good Patreon show is a show that reminds you of the stuff we're good at, but it's not the type of thing that we would have spent that much time on, or maybe even any time on the show proper. And this is a good example of that. Caddy Studs Investigation. CSI Las Vegas.
CSI Las Vegas. What else? We just put up the Glimmer Man commentary, which is a lot of fun. Steven Seagal.
An atrocious movie.
I'm baffled by
how bad that movie was.
There's also a Game Time. There's a new Game Time I just recorded that's going to be going up soon as well. I'm supposed to have a Game Time meeting tomorrow. I shan't be there.
It's funny because you're simultaneously completely invested in that show and absolutely uninvolved.
But that's just a tip of the iceberg. There's plenty, plenty more where that came from. A lot of extra stuff. And of course, podcast archives, just a plethora of content for you to enjoy at patreon.com/Jim and Them.
Where else can people find Jim, you ask yourself, shouting at me through your AirPods, shaking your fist? Well, I've got an answer for you at showswhatyouknow.com, baby.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Jacob Burrows and myself, we have a podcast where we discuss television shows. We make television shows. We discuss your favorite shows. Jacob has a podcast just breaking down the real history behind movies and shows that you enjoy, which they've had a bunch of releases recently, so you want to check those out. Jacob and I are making a huge comeback very shortly on that site as well, so be on the lookout. Tell a friend, make sure you subscribe, and rate and review. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. My endorsement's going to be weird, Jim, and you're going to know why.
Okay.
Because I'm going to endorse a movie I didn't actually like all that much.
Ooh.
But I feel like it's an interesting movie, and I feel like people should watch it. Because you actually watched this as well. It's Ricky Stenicki.
Ah, I did watch Ricky Stenicki.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
It just wasn't very good.
It wasn't. So the problem was, it wasn't very funny.
Yeah.
But John Cena was good in it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And they make the interesting decision. Now, I didn't know this was a Farrelly Brothers movie, or I don't know if it's both of them,
but it's always one
of them directing, but they do them together. I didn't know it was a Farrelly movie until the end when it said, like, directed by, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's a Farrelly movie. That's what prompted me to rewatch Dumb and Dumber.
Hmm.
But John Cena is good in it, even though, again, it's not terribly funny. But what I like is that the whole premise of the movie is that these kids make up a person so that they can blame things on him, and they named him Ricky Stenicki. Yeah. And now they're adults, and they use him as a fake friend to, like, get out of, like, boring weekends with their wives or to do various things. Then they have to prove he exists, so they take this washed-up guy that they met in Atlantic City who claims to be an actor, and they hire him to pretend to be Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah.
And then by hook or by crook, he does a good job, but then he wants to stay that character because it works out for him, too. And in any other movie, and I know you think I'm ruining it for you, but again, it's not really an amazing movie, but what I like is this decision is he's never a villain.
Yeah.
He's clearly a thorn in their sides because they don't want him around, but he's not like, fuck you, I'm Ricky now and I'm never going to change. There's nothing you can do about it. They kind of keep him aloof and likable the whole time while still having him be the crux of, like, fuck, what are we going to do? And I think that's an interesting decision, and I think it was better for it. And that movie is better than it should have been, which I guess is saying something because considering I didn't like it that much, it could have been, like, atrocious. But I don't know. I feel like there are people out there that might like this movie, and I think that's why I'm recommending it.
No, that's fair. I mean, I feel that a lot about a lot of recent comedies. Maybe it's because I want to like them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I honestly feel the same way about The Machine, the Burt Kreischer movie.
Sure.
It's not very funny. It has its moments. I appreciate what they're going for because they're mixing genres, trying to do like it. But I mean, not to get too off topic.
No.
I think the same thing. Like, I wish I liked it more.
Yeah, because it's a great premise.
I like that they're making a comedy that's just supposed to be a silly comedy.
Yes.
I just wish it was funnier.
I will say, too, that I feel like it tries to go for heart, and a lot of comedies try to go for that and don't do it. I think that stupid Jennifer Lawrence movie, that was like, that movie really tried to do that, and it's like, you did not earn this. This movie does do that. So it does things well. It's just not funny. And I think that the Zac Efron's friends are fucking annoying in the movie. Yeah. They're really bad. But I do think that there's people out there that this movie's for, and I don't think anyone knows this movie exists. So in a weird, almost backwards compliment, I'm taking a movie that I gave a 2.5 stars on Letterboxd, and I'm saying that's my endorsement. It's a movie called Ricky Stenicki.
Ricky Stenicki.
And I do think it's worth checking out because it's not long. And if you don't
Prime?
It's on Amazon. Yeah. If you don't like it, it's a very short investment. And if you do like it, maybe it wasn't for me, but it is for you. So that is my endorsement, is the movie Ricky Stenicki on Amazon.
Ricky Stenicki.
Again, I stand by. I think I brought this up like 3 weeks ago. It's a great premise. I love the premise. So I kind of just wish I liked the movie more. But great premise.
Well, it reminds me of... I'm going to pause this for a second. It reminds me of... I'm the champion of comedy, I was listening to a little bit of Conan O'Brien's podcast, which... honestly, is not that good.
I stopped listening to it.
Because it's like, I love Conan, but maybe this is weird bitterness to me, where like sometimes they're all laughing so hard at stuff, and I'm like, this is not even funny.
Yeah, it sounds like
sometimes I'm like, I'm funnier than this.
I know that when we all crack up...
I never think that about myself.
We will all crack up on the show, but I think anyone listening would understand why.
Yeah.
On that show, I'm like,
because he's got his like assistant there. It's like, it's almost like she has to laugh. But anyways, that's not really the point. Adam Sandler was on, and listening to him, and even like watching a couple years ago when he put that special out, I liked that special a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I really like just listening to him just kind of talk to Conan just about whatever. And that's what made it such a bum out that like all of the movies he puts out, I think, are fucking so bad.
Sure. Except for Uncut Gems, right?
Yeah. Like
it's like the only good one.
I haven't watched that Spaceman movie. I should probably watch that.
Because
that's what he's promoting.
It's all right. It's weird, and I'm not sure it justifies its weirdness. But it's not bad.
Although, but like that's kind of besides the point. It just reminded me because there was a funny story Conan told where he was saying how he was in the airport to get on a plane. He's going through security. And like as he's doing the thing, like trying to put his bags up and stuff, this guy in front of him is like, oh, my God, you're Conan O'Brien. Like, I'm such a huge fan. Like, this is like, I can't believe I'm meeting you. And Conan's like super cool, but like, oh, that's awesome. And you could see like the guy kind of has his phone in his hand, but like they're in a weird like.
We can't just take a
selfie or whatever. So they like he just tells them like how much he means to him. Like him and his dad used to watch a show, whatever the fuck. And then they go through security, and then like they kind of like he starts walking off. But then he thinks about it for a second, and he's like, you know what? Like I should go back and take a picture with that guy. And so he goes over to him, and he walks up to the guy, and he's like, you know what? Hey, come on, let's just take a selfie. Like he sees the guy holding his phone in his hand. He's like, let's take a selfie. And the guy's like, all right. And he's all like, okay. And then he realizes it's not the guy. It's some other guy wearing the same shirt. And he's saying how funny it is that just some stranger that Conan O'Brien walks up to was like, hey, come
you
on.
Know what?
Let's take a selfie.
Wildly
and then he said he like looks over and sees the actual guy.
Did he go and back over to him?
Because the other guy like just takes his photo, is like, okay, and like takes a selfie. And then he's like trying to explain, like, no, I thought you were that like trying to that was like the one funny thing that I was like, all right, that's a really funny thing.
You can picture how Conan would tell that story too. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But anyways, comedy's cool.
Yeah, when it's good, it's just never good anymore.
Yeah, it's just never good.
I can't remember the last time it was good.
Sometimes I think we're just jaded, but then I'm like, I don't think we are.
I try to give comedy a chance. Yeah.
The thing is, we can be, but I think sometimes we honestly are giving things a chance.
Dude,
we like Bottoms.
Yeah, Bottoms.
I kind of like that other movie that I talked about with those guys from SNL.
Yeah. Oh, Foggy Mountain something.
Yeah, Matt Conan's
and
in that.
I said the trailer looked good, and I wanted to hate it. I went in wanting to hate it. That's why I say, guys, I give shit a chance. People act like I don't. That's why I'm constantly saying, hey, I like this thing, and you're like, why the fuck would you even watch it? Because I give things a chance.
Well, like Wonka, which I keep almost watching, but I haven't watched it yet.
Again, I'm not saying you're going to walk away loving it.
I'll probably like
it,
though,
I think you'll be like, wow, that was good.
But, all right.
I think you'll be charmed by it.
I could see it. Well, on that, I'm Jim.
And we're them.
And we're out.
Word.